All right, everyone, welcome to another episode of the XL Tribesman podcast. I have none other. You know, Adrian's one of those people that you never hear from, but you see everywhere. I don't know if that's intentional, Adrian. I actually don't know. But we see your face. There's nowhere Big and Tall exists that you haven't seen his face, but you've never heard his voice. So is that intentional, Adrian?
No, it's not. Not even.
Why is that?
I don't know. That's a good question. I've gotten that before too.
Where, you don't do reels, you don't make any social media content, but you're like one of the biggest Big and Tall bloggers out. It's kind of interesting how your career is gone. Like, you know, you haven't had to take the influencer route. So I'm intrigued. I'm more intrigued about your career because, you know, for other Big and Tall models, I understand how you got where you got. You put the work was visible on the outside, but your work is very much on the back end. So I would love for you to tell the people, first of all, introduce yourself. And then if they've been sleeping under a rock, like tell them how you got started. Cause you're pretty quiet.
My name's Adrian M. Monpoint. I'm from New England, Massachusetts, specifically. And, you know, I think I probably just kind of go through life kind of like always like under the radar, you know, even before modeling, because I started acting first. And while I was acting, I was also working at a movie theater, and I worked there for.
First of all, hold on. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. See, a lot of times I tell people exactly what you just said. When you are interested in a career in a specific area, it's best to immerse yourself in that space. So the fact that you wanted to become you were an actor, so you decided to work at a movie theater is exactly what I tell people all the time. Like, I wish if I could turn back the hands of time, I wish I would have worked at JCPenney, Portrait Studios. Like, okay. I would have done that. Or I would have worked in the high school photography team. Like, I wish I would have done things along the lines of the career that I always want, or not always wanted, but the career that I ended up in, because it would have gave me a chance to experience more. I know I would be much further in my career because I would have had that time to practice, you know, when no one's looking. So more about that, like being an actor and in movies, like what happens when one of your movies came out? Like, imagine going to a movie theater and seeing The Rock giving you your popcorn. Like, that's wild.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. You know, because I worked at a movie theater. I started in 2004, and I was there to about 2018. And I got into acting in 2014. Yeah, 2014. I decided to take a class, and my first background work was for Ted 2, I remember, and then this boxing. Yeah, that was my first time being in background, and then Bleed for this boxing film. I was also background, but I was more featured in that. And I remember going in the theater while I was at work, just looking for the part I was in. And I just seen myself on the big screen. I was just like, wow. I'm like, that's crazy. But then I was just like, right. And I was like, yo, I hope my coworkers don't see me, you know, except one dude named Chris. Cause I was trying to keep it on the low down. I just started into it, you know, and my coworker, Chris, he saw me in that scene, and he was just like, hey, you getting into acting, bro? And I was just like, yeah, I'm trying to dabble into it, you know. But yeah, I just thought that was always interesting, you know, being an actor and also working at the movie theater.
Things like that. How did you get into background work? Like, because I don't know if that's easy or hard. Like, how do you, well, I guess that's relevant, but like, how do you get into that?
I basically, I just remembered, I was looking up acting classes in the Boston area first. Uh-huh. And then did that. I was around people that did background work, including uh-huh. my teacher. He's actually an actor. And I asked him like everything, like, how can I get into the film? And then he was just like, oh, well, you know, sign up for Boston casting. And he was telling me this casting. So I basically just did it on my own, signing up. And then they, you know, hit me back, you know, asking if I was be interested in being a pedestrian in a TED 2. And I said, yeah, sure.
Why not? Oh, how dope.
Yeah.
So question, the $1 million question. As a background person, right? Every time that film is shown, do you get paid? Because that would be really dope.
Yeah. Well, let me get my cat out of here. Yeah. Background. I remember because I was non-union. Because when you start in background, you start as non-union. Okay. And basically, you don't get paid that much. I think it was like $80 for the day. And the day was like 13 hours.
Jesus Christ.
Yep. Yeah, it was $80. That was a start.
Whoa. So they don't pay y'all enough for that work. Gonna take a small commercial break. We'll be back when Adrian comes back. Okay, you're back.
I'm back, yeah. I think my laptop went into airplane mode. I don't know why, but.
Whoa. The cat did it.
Yeah, the cat definitely did it. Hey, you, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's going on. Cats just leave people alone.
No, not this one. You're about to get kicked out, but let me get rid of her. You gotta go. All right. Sorry about that.
And we are back. Okay. So I want to know, like, that work is definitely not sustainable. So, you know, at the time you're doing background, like, what is it like on set?
Oh, well, first, I realize that it's a lot of hurry up and wait. Like, they'll say, hey, your call time's 8 a.m. All right, call time 8 a.m. You're thinking 8 a.m., boom, we're going to rock and roll right away. Nope. You'll just be in holding for about, could be up to 4 hours sometimes. Just sitting there, just waiting. And sometimes they don't even use you, you know? And when I first started out, yeah, it was crazy. They didn't even use me? Yeah. Like when I found that out the hard way, like when I first did it, I'm like, all right, 8 o'clock call time. I'm going to get there, probably go through makeup, all this, and they're going to use me right away. Nope. 9 o'clock came. I'm like, all right, cool. 10, 11. 12. I didn't go on set until 1:30. I remember 1:30 just to, what was I doing? I think I was just walking by with a suitcase filled with nothing.
You know, in movies, I really hate that. If there's a movie director listening to this right now, please, I beg you for the life of God, please put a t-shirt, empty boxes, put something in the suitcase, because when the person picks it up or rolls it, you can tell the container has nothing in it. Just like when people are drinking out of coffee mugs, you know, there's nothing in it. We can tell.
You can see it.
You hold a mug differently when it has content in it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Without a doubt. I do. Me and my mom, we always point that out. Every time we're just like, there's nothing in that coffee. He just, you know, you see them just just
fake. First of all, no one drinks like that.
Nobody. Yeah, yeah, there's a little things that like I notice in like shows and stuff where I'm like, no, you're not even drinking your coffee. Or if you notice, watch dinner scenes in movies.
They never eat.
Never eat. Ever. They never eat. They just
move the food around.
Yep. They move it around.
Why? Why don't they eat? I'm sure they'd be hungry.
Exactly. See? I swear, like, the greats, they're the ones that I noticed that are eating. Like, I remember, I forgot what it was. What was I watching? Viola Davis. She was legit eating in a scene. And I'm like, see, look at her. Yeah, she's great. Like, you got to be fully immersed in that. I remember an acting teacher called me out on that where we did a scene together and it was supposed to be a dinner scene. There was a table and everything and like a plate and like plastic food. And I had a fork and knife and I was saying my lines and my teacher was like, hey, cut, Adrian, you're not eating. And I'm like, oh, I'm not. He's like, no, you got to eat too. I'm like, you're right.
But it's plastic food.
I know. I had to pretend to cut like this fake steak and stuff.
So the food on the table doesn't mean real?
Sometimes it is real. Yeah.
You know what?
It's crazy. Sometimes it is.
All right. Well. Okay. So this is what I want to understand. So you're doing background work. You've done at this point two movies. What makes you say, oh, I'm going to venture into modeling? Like, how did that transition happen?
So it was, I remember it was 2018 of probably like March or April. And I was watching America's Top Model, and that episode they showed like bigger guys taking photos with these other models, and then that's when I seen Zach Miko.
They were pouring the gold.
And I was just like, I'm like, who's this guy? And it, you know, the bottom said big and tall model, and you know, I didn't even know that was a thing back then. Shut up. I swear, I didn't even know. I just would, you know, get clothes, not really paying attention. And I'm like, wait, this is like a legit thing. And, you know, I watched that episode and then, you know, I did my research on him. And then I started to like, you know, go online to see how many guys look like me out there. And I'm like, hey, this is a big thing here. And I'm like, let me get into this, you know? And then that's when I found you. Or did you find me? I don't remember. But I remember looking at your Instagram, and then you, I think it was in May, you posted about a casting call.
Oh my God. Yes, at DXL.
Yeah, at DXL in Manhattan, you posted that. And I was just like, and it said 6'3" and taller. I'm like, what? That's me. I'm like, let me get on this. And I'm like, thank you, sir.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, I saw it on your Instagram. And then I just went there. And I remember seeing a whole line of people, big guys. Yeah, I just remember seeing a bunch of dudes there. They were big, and I'm like, oh, dang. Let me try it out. Because, you know, when you
I'm glad you did not give up. I'm glad you didn't see the line and say, I'm going to turn around. I'm so glad.
Yeah, like that line, it can be intimidating when you see that. And I'm like, you know what? I'm already here. Let me just go anyways. And I just remember taking a few pictures, non-smiling, smiling, you know, put down my interests, you know, who am I? And then I heard back about 3 weeks later. Yeah, 3 weeks later from Wilhelmina. And they were like, oh, you know, we'd like to sign you and me. Not
moved really fast. So, wait, you got to break that down. So what happened from the time you took the digitals at the store in between those 3 weeks? What was happening to you? What was happening?
Now, after I took the digitals, and the agent who I have now, she was there. And I remember she was just like, all right, thank you very much. You know, nothing of it. Because, you know, I've done auditions and acting. And I'm like, all right, this is how it goes, I guess, for modeling. You do what you got to do, and then, you know, just wait. So I remember, I think a week later, my agent, who wasn't my agent yet, she asked me, like my shoe size and stuff, just to make sure, and, you know, my waist. And I told her, and she said, thank you very much. And I'm like, okay. I don't know what that was about. Maybe
follow-up question. I feel like follow-up questions are good and bad because it means you're interested, but it don't mean I'm selected yet.
Yeah, it was. And then I told my mom, and I'm like, they asked me my size, so I don't know what's going to happen. You know, and she's like, oh, well, you'll see. And then like 2 weeks came by, and then she emailed me saying, hey, you know, we want to sign you. And me being, I was like superstitious, you know. I swear, because you know what's crazy? I didn't know who Wilhelmina was back then. Yeah. Which is, yeah.
I didn't Adrian, know shame was. On you.
Dude, huge shame on me. And I got the email. I didn't respond right away. I called my mom and I'm like, mom, this agency is interested in me. And she's like, who is it? And I'm like, I forgot the name. And I was like, I think it's like Will and Emma. Will, Emma. And she was like, wait, what? She's like, boy, Wilhelmina? I said, yeah. I'm like, do you know that, mom? She's like, yes. She's like, they're huge. I'm like, so they're legit. She's like, yes, they're legit. Cool. And I was just like, all right, well, I'm gonna hit her back, let her know I'm in. But yeah, my mom was wilding out, and she sent me a bunch of YouTube vids on Wilhelmina and things like that. And I'm like, oh, all right. This is legit, legit. They're not asking me for money or anything, you know? Yeah.
You got those out there.
There's so many. Yeah.
So Wilhelmina tells you they're interested in signing you. You respond back. What happens next? I feel like this. Tell us what happens next.
Yeah. I said, okay. So I had to print out the contract, you know, sign it. And then I had to fax it to them. And then maybe 2 weeks later, my agent told me I have a e-com shoot with DXL. And they were the first client I ever dealt with. And I call them my DXL family, you know, because I learned a lot, you know, doing shoots with them, mm-hmm. you know, like how to pose certain things like that. And they're great. And they were my first client. And I remember going the first day not knowing what to expect. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of just, you know, the photographer cue, and then my stylist was Liz, you know, great people. And they just kind of guide me through it. And yeah, DXL was the first one for quite a while. I was always doing a DXL in the beginning.
I can see the transition, by the way. I remember that first modeling gig. I was like, why your face looked like somebody was like, okay, now pose. And he was like, yeah. And I can see the difference now. I mean, obviously you've been doing it for, my God, like, what's that?
Wow.
Wow. First of all, wait a minute. I totally forgot about that flyer. I feel like every time I have conversations like this, I'm reminded of the fact that like what I do here is valuable, because I'm so happy that you decided, number one, to take a chance on yourself, but number two, decided to see something you saw on Instagram and was like, let me go do this shit. Like, I think I can do this.
Yeah. I just went and it was crazy. I'll never forget it. I had $40. Yeah. In cash. And I was like real broke. I had $40 in cash and I had like a little bit over half a tank of gas. And my mom was just like, "So are you going?" I said, "Yeah." She's like, "Oh, wow, you're going." And I was like, "Yeah, mom, I got to spend money." I said, I have to spend money. I don't have to earn money. I will have. I remember that. Clear
as day. That's a quote. I'm quoting that. I'm stealing this part of the episode. And it's a quote. Listen.
Yeah.
So many times, and that's exactly what entrepreneurship is like. You are shelling out money after money that you have no idea when this money's coming back. And you have to just put your faith in yourself, in God. If you don't believe in God, in the universe, you just have to put yourself out there and say, I'm going to spend this money, and I don't know when it's going to come back. And I got to close my eyes and give it out. Because, listen. Yeah, listen, I'm pretty sure them $40, you had plans for that before that day. Yeah. You probably was going to buy a little bit of gas, buy a little bit of food.
I was, yeah, man.
Pay for lunch, whatever you had to do. But you saw an opportunity and you was like, I don't know how I'm going to get to work the rest of the week. Yeah. But we going to make this work. And see, that's really what I want people to take. Like, sometimes you really got to step out there on faith. And so it's 5 years later. So I want you to chronologic, whatever the word is, put in order. I got you. I'm trying to be all edumacated and it ain't working out. So it's 2018. You're modeling. It's the summer of 2018. So what does 2019 look like for you? Like, what are you... Like, what's happening to your career? What's happening to your personal life? Oh, number one, are you still working at the movie theaters in 2019?
No.
Okay, when do you stop working at the movie theaters?
So 2018 is when I started. 2018 of June is when I started modeling for DXL. And then I was, doing it consistently all through that whole summer, just DXL. Love it. And then September hit, and a friend of mine told me, "Hey, they're filming this movie in Boston with Winston Duke from Black Panther," and she was like, "Hey, you should try to get in to see if you can be his body double, yeah, or stand in." And I'm like, "Oh, that's a good idea." So I hit up Boston Casting, send the pic. We're the same height, same thing. And they're like, "Yeah, we'll use you." So then I was his stand-in for the movie Spencer Confidential from September to December.
So how does the stand-in work? I've never heard of that. I've heard of it, but I don't know how it works. So how does the stand-in work?
Oh, the stand-in work is basically you are going to, they're going to, the camera guy or the director will put you in a position where the main actor is going to be, and they adjust it on you, like your skin tone, your height, all that, so that when the main actor comes in, it's a smooth transition, and they're not let's get it right. Now they already got it right with me because me and Winston are the same size,
Got it. So they're ready to say action when Winston walks out.
Yeah, and it's ready to go because they already tested the lighting and everything on me. So, yeah, I remember and life got real busy then because I was, modeling, and then I had to do the stand-in work, and then that led me to doing stunts in that movie.
Shut up.
Yeah. Real cool, man. Yeah, because I was...
So, wait, we all have to watch that movie now. I feel like the XL tribesman community has to watch that movie now.
Yeah, check it out, man. Yeah, it's Spencer Confidential on Netflix right now.
Don't worry about it. Going to watch it tonight.
Yeah, check it out. I got a cool fight scene. Yep. And because I remember I was, doing stand-in work for Winston Duke for months. And then the stunt coordinator, Dash, he said, he's like, "Hey, man, let me see you throw a punch, And I'm kind of laughing with him, like, you know, all right, there you go. And he's like, that's pretty good. You know, I think we're going to have you fight Mark Wahlberg, all right? And then he walked away.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it was so
weird. You don't do that to me and then just walk away?
He walked away. And I'm like, oh, this is what they do in Hollywood. Okay. Like, I didn't know how to react. I'm like, what? Sir, come back.
I need more details. Like, yeah. How are we going to fight? Is he going to be harmed? Am I going to be sued because, you know, I don't have as much money as Mark Wahlberg? So, like, what's happening here?
Yeah, what's going on? He came in and then walked away. And my mind was like, whoa, what is happening? And then they, like, got my number and they're like, yeah, we're going to do this. It was so fast pace of what was going on. They're like, yeah, you know, meet us at this place. We're going to do the stunt. Test and all that, and I'm like, wait, what? You know, it was so crazy how fast paced everything was going. And then I got the opportunity to be part of this great scene. I remember I played a cop in it, and I remember just like doing push-ups before the scene and getting ready.
Wait, what? You had to get a little buff or something, or just?
I just had to like get the blood flowing and stuff, you know, because I'm just like, oh, I'm about to do this scene with Mark Wahlberg. That's crazy. Like, you know.
So you're mentally prepared for that, man.
Mentally prepared. And I just remember while that was going on, I was also DJing too. Yeah, I was DJing at a club on Friday.
This is why y'all need to understand. When you don't see people, just know they're working. Because even I knew you were an actor. That I knew. But I did not know you were a DJ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I DJed at this club for about 2.5 years. In the first year I got there, they won... I don't remember the exact award, but they won like best nightclub in the city. So I always tell my dad. Yeah. Oh, it was so packed. I told my dad, I was like, and that was like their first time ever winning that. So I'm like, I basically brought Cleveland their first championship, you know, like LeBron or something. Yeah. So
MVP. That means you got your own parking spot.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, I DJed there, and I DJed every Friday night there, sometimes Saturday, sometimes both. And I remember wrapping up filming on Friday at like, it could wrap at like 6 or something. And then I got to go DJ from 9 to 2 a.m. And I just remember being so exhausted, but it was a good tired, you know? Yeah. And plus, I'm also modeling too during that time. So
you're getting all the checks.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, let me do this because I remember just having that $40, man.
And look where you've come since then. So now you're DJing, you're an actor, you're a stand-in, you're a stunt worker.
Yep.
It's 2019. What's happening now?
2019. So we finished filming Spencer Confidential in December of 2018. And I left my movie theater job in October of 2018.
Wait. So you were at the movie theater modeling, DJing, stunt work, and standing.
Yeah. Well, at the movie theater. And I was like, I gotta leave.
You got Jamaicans beat. You got more than two jobs.
Yeah. I remember I told my buddies, I think we saw Halloween in 2018. And I'm like, you know what, bro? I got to leave the theater. And they looked at me like, oh, you're going to do it? Because I was there for like 15 years.
Whoa, what?
Yeah. 15 years, man. Oh, yeah.
I worked at the movie theaters for a summer. How you did it 15 years?
15 years.
What?
Yeah. That I started at age, I just turned 15. I remember I signed the application. I was 14. in April, and then I started working in May. Yeah, I started working in May, and I was 15. Yep. And then I was all I was there all the way to age like 30. Crazy.
Wait, yeah. How old are you, Adrian?
I'm 33 now.
Oh, okay. I was like, whoa, wait, hold on. Don't let me find out you like 45 and you look 20. Hold on.
Oh, that'd be crazy.
Okay. Because I was like 15 years. Like, okay, cool. Yeah. So you're quitting this job. Obviously, you've been there 15 years. So yeah. Now it makes sense why everybody's like gasping for air.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you leave the movie theater.
Oh, yeah.
It's 2019. What's happening?
So I leave it, and then 2019, I started to model for Target. That's when Target came through.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep, Target came through in 2019. And, oh, yeah, 2019, Target came in. That was great. And I'm trying to think what else happened. 2019... So yeah, I'm modeling consistently for a DXL, Target, and I remember, this is crazy, man. I was doing stand-in work for the Adam Sandler movie, Hubie Halloween, and it was for actor George Wallace, and we did nothing but night shoots for that. And we'd go on to, you know, 4 a.m., 3 a.m. sometimes, things like that. And I remember my agent, yeah, real late and or early. And my agent said, hey, you know, you gotta shoot with Amazon like the next day. And I'm like, in Brooklyn, mind you. And we're filming this movie in Salem, Massachusetts. And I'm like,
how far is that drive?
Ooh, to Salem, that was at least maybe four. It might have been four. Yeah, because Salem's up there. And I remember the call time for Amazon was 8:30 in the morning. And I just wrapped up at 4 a.m. in Salem. And I said, hey, oh, well, let's do it. And I just drove from Salem straight to Brooklyn. No sleep, man. I said, yep, I got to do this. And, you know, whenever I'm like tired or whatever, I just remember those days at the cinema, man. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. I'm like, you know what? I'll do this. I'm grateful for it. Doesn't matter. I'll sleep later.
Okay.
Yeah. Because those days at the cinema, oh, I tell you, man, working there, people can be disgusting.
They are. Just,
and dirty. Like, just nobody wants to clean anymore. Like, no one can just throw away their trash. Just crazy. Got a lot of horror stories from there.
So after you are, where are you at this time? So wait a minute. I totally forgot about the Amazon shoot.
Yep.
Oh, one second. Ooh.
Yeah. Good, man.
Yeah, me too. Ooh. All right. So you're doing Amazon.
Yep.
And is this early 2019 or?
Yeah, just about. Actually, this was probably mid. This was mid 2019.
Okay.
Yeah, because I remember it was summer. It was hot out. Yep. Yeah, I remember going straight there. And yeah, I've been modeling for, with them ever since. Yeah.
Oh, now that's dope. See, that's the thing I always wonder about modeling. When you get a client, do you have control over if you keep them or not?
I have no control. Yeah.
Got it. So it's kind of whatever comes your way, your agent kind of just sifts through and says, okay, you're going to get this one. Okay. I always wondered that because I always wondered, like, as a model, one of the things I'm interested in, kind of like a photographer, which I am, and you are too, by the way.
Yeah, thanks.
You stopped shooting, by the way. Is that because you got too busy?
Yeah. You know, I got to get back out there, man. And plus, it's getting nicer out, and I'm trying to do more nature photography. You know, that's my thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and no, I definitely got to get back out there. You know, just something I really enjoy.
I know you do. I see it.
Yeah, thanks.
I always wonder, as a model, like, how do you create a consistent stream of revenue for yourself? Because if you aren't, you know, having the ability to pick the clients, like, how do you do that?
You know, I just happen to be real lucky, you know, fortunate with these clients, you know, needing me at a specific time, you know? Like, it's just like, you know, Amazon will want me, let's say, tomorrow, and then the next week, like Monday, Target, and then some later down that line, DXL that week, you know, that kind of thing. And you know what? Modeling, I realize, like, how fast, like, the seasons change. Yep. Like, we're in April. Okay, you know what? Like, in winter, I'll be modeling swim gear, swim trunks. You know, they're getting ready for summer. And then when summer comes, I'm modeling winter coats. And
I always feel so bad for you all. I promise you, it's the one thing that I just breaks my heart. Because I know y'all be freezing y'all ass off out there.
Yeah, at times. Yeah.
It's one thing to be sweating in the summer with a winter coat. It's another thing to be freezing in the winter.
True.
With swim trunks on. And you got to look uncold, too.
Oh, yeah. I got to be smiling, man. You know, and it's like that, too, on movie sets, man, where we're filming a scene in the summer, but we got to pretend that it's winter. And they have this fake snow, and I'm wearing a huge coat, sweating, and... You know, the main question I'll ask, like, my fellow actors, would you rather be in extreme heat or extreme cold? And most of us say extreme cold because we can always get warm. It's so tough when you're outside and that heat. I remember I did background for this independent film in upstate New York, and it was 98 degrees to 102 daily.
Oh,
And I had to wear a suit, too. I remember wearing a suit, and we had to pretend it was fall. And, I was sweating like crazy. One woman actually passed out. I remember that. She had to go in the ambulance. Too hot.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I just kept saying, I'm like, I can't take it.
So, you're working... at this time, obviously, clients are being great to you. So fill us in. Now it's 2020. Before the pandemic, it's January, because February we started hearing a little bit. So it's January. Like, what do you think is going to happen to you in 2020?
Oh, okay. In 2020? So you're talking about, like, the beginning of 2020?
Yeah, so January, okay. Early February, like, how are things moving and shaking?
Okay. Oh, man. I remember in December of 2019, I remember I was going to get this this commercial. I think it was a cable commercial or something. And I remember they said I got it, and I was pumped for it. And they're like, yeah, we're going to be filming in February. I said, all right, cool, dope. And then that's, you know, we started hearing about, you know, COVID. And I'm like, I don't know what's really going on with this. And I remember my dad telling me about it, and he's like, oh, this is looking serious. And, you know, I'm still modeling till about March, because March is kind of like when things shut down.
Yep.
I believe. And I remember I was so bummed because I was going to do a shoot in the Bahamas. Yep. I'm telling you, it was so close. It was so close. I just remember it was about to happen. And then my agent's like, oh, hold up. They might do a different date because of COVID. And I'm thinking, all right, that's cool. This COVID will probably be gone in like a couple weeks, like, you know, most of us thought. And nope, that didn't happen.
You know, it's wild to me how we all literally thought we were going to be home for 2 weeks and then we were going to be outside in April.
Me too. I was just like, oh yeah, 2 weeks. You know, I could be in the house for 2 weeks. It's all good. And then, you know, things will start up again. Nah.
Nope.
April. May comes, June comes, July. I'm like, are we going to be like this for the rest of our life?
Okay, so that's what I want to ask you. So
yeah,
life is very different in the northern states. So when did you all get back to work? Like, when did modeling pick back up for you? Because here in Atlanta, like, we literally only shut down for, I want to say, I'm honestly going to say two good months. And I don't even really want to say 2 months. Because, like, we shut down, like, March 30-something. March, like, 28th, 29th-ish. And then before Memorial Day, we were back open again. So, like, it was, I'm going to say two months.
Oh, my gosh. 2 months. Wow. Oh, my God. We were shut down serious for till August, I believe, because I remember August is when I was able to model again. I had a shoot in Jersey. Yeah. Oh
my God.
Yeah. So
what were you doing from March to August?
March to August? Honestly, man, I was just hiking. I was hiking so much and taking photos outside, nature photography, and also, I remember taking a lot of photos during like the protests we had here. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I remember just always being outside, at least during that whole pandemic. And I'm like, well, you know what? I'm just going to keep myself ready for whenever, you know, because it was no acting either. And that wasn't happen. That didn't happen until October. Yeah. Yeah, that's when acting came back in the late fall. And that was crazy too, because I did this this sci-fi movie, Mother Android. It's on Hulu right now. And that was like the first thing I did coming back.
Okay.
And I remember that was different because you had to get the COVID test when you get tested for your costume, and then get a COVID test when you get there too. And I just remember there was people on set that their job specifically was to just keep people apart. So if you're talking to somebody, these people in these hoodies that I forgot their name, saying it, I don't remember, but they would just be like,
wait, yes, a minute, what?
Yeah, there would just be people walking around. They're like, hey, y'all a little too close. Just need to back up. That was their job. I remember. Yeah.
Was it COVID officer?
Something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
It was all like right. That.
So you come back. This is how modeling is. So that I'm pretty sure that leads all the way into 2021 for you. So like,
oh yeah.
Now it's we're in 2021. We're a year into the pandemic. What is work looking like? Because I really want to know what work looks like for you all. Oh. On set.
Yeah. You know, it was crazy on Amazon. There was no makeup people anymore, no makeup artists anymore. So you had to do it yourself. And, you know, I had to learn a lot, you know. You had to do it yourself. So I was watching like YouTube vids, things like that, you know, certain what powder goes with my skin complexion, things like that. And I got pretty good at it. And then,
yeah. A skill you never know you needed.
Yeah. So I did that, and I remember the stylist couldn't touch you. So I'd be putting on an outfit, and I would just mimic what the stylist wanted to do. Like if I had a wrinkle here or there, the stylist would be like, all right, can you just move your shirt a little to the left? Things like that. And I tell you, I have so much respect. I always had respect for stylists, but like even more, that is a hard job. Like, especially with dress clothes, what? Dress shirt? Oh.
There's always a wrinkle in there.
Always. I remember being on a dress shirt for probably 45 minutes in the beginning.
Trying to
get the wrinkle out, trying to make it look right from the, you know, the shots from behind. And I was sweating, legit sweating. And I'm like, whew, I don't know how y'all do this. You know, and that went on for
that's very, very different.
Yeah, that went on for a good year and a half, man, without the stylist touching you, just about. And I think, yeah, just about a year and a half. And then they were able to use a poker, like for people that are shorter, they use to grab from like shelves.
Oh, I know what you mean. Like a grabber.
A grabber. So then they went into that. So they'd be using that from afar.
Listen, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Right? Yeah. I'm just like, oh, it's all good. But yeah, that's what was going on in late 2020, going into 2021. Oh, wait. I also forgot. In 2020, that's when I booked that Downy commercial.
Oh, I wasn't gonna forget about that. I had a whole. We were coming to that commercial.
Yeah.
How can we forget the commercial?
Yeah.
Please tell us about how you booked the commercial, how it went. What was it like? Did you ever meet Cam? Like, what was it?
Yeah, that. I got an email looking for featured extras that are 6'4 and taller. And I said, all right, that's me. Let me apply for this. Not knowing what it was, I thought I was either it was going to be a Patriots commercial or I was going to do stand-in work for a Patriots player. And I'm like, yeah, let me do this. You know, they were looking for him on like a Wednesday and I had Wednesday off. I'm like, sure. So I go there to get a COVID test. And right when I got there, they were just like, are you an actor? I said, yes. And they say, well, there's some issue because Cam's not going to be able to do the commercial here because, you know, unfortunately he caught COVID then. And they didn't really say to me, like, we need you to do the commercial. They were kind of like, they weren't specific about it. They're just like, what are you busy? Things like that. And I remember I had a shoot. I remember. And they were just like, okay, so you can't do this. I was like, unfortunately, no. Not knowing I was going to be the lead in the commercial. I was just like, yeah, I got this thing going on. And they're like, okay. I go home. The producer calls me. And he's just like, hey, so I heard you're busy, but is it possible you could do this commercial for us? And I'm like, oh, like be the lead. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, let me call my agent. So we talked about it. And she's like, yeah, definitely do it. It's a huge opportunity. So I went the next day, had to get the costume fitting, try on a bunch of different outfits before they use the one that you see in the commercial. We experimented with so much. I regret not taking a picture in every single one. I at least tried on maybe 40 different outfits.
Whoa.
It was a lot. It was a lot.
I mean, Cam has a very expressive style, so yes, there's a lot to choose from.
Oh, there was so many different coats, different leather jackets, different hats, you know? The hats were all different. And while we're doing that, I'm also, you know, trying to learn the lines and things like that, because we're shooting the next day, all of it. And it was during a time, too, with COVID being high, and the director, he was in Canada during this, and he would basically talk to me through an earpiece during it. And that was, you know, foreign to me.
Oh, yeah, they couldn't leave Canada.
Yeah, couldn't leave. So he's just at his living room directing and talking to me through an earpiece the whole time. Come
on, see, that's you can do anything that you want to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to direct movies from right here next.
From right there, yeah. Like, honestly, you can do that. Like, they put him on, like, this podium with wheels. It felt like the Jetsons, I swear. Like, somebody would push the podium closer, and it's the director on the laptop talking to me.
Wow.
Yeah. It was an awesome, such an awesome experience doing that. And
tell me about the first time you saw it.
Now, my dad was the first one to see it.
Shut up.
He was the first one. Mm-hmm. He was the first one to see it. And he was sleeping, taking his regular Sunday nap. And he said he was sleeping, and he heard the commercial. And he woke up out of his sleep, and he was just like, oh, that sounded like Adrian. And then he looked at the commercial, and I told him about it. But he, you know, he's a busy man. He'll forget. And then he's like, hey, that looks like Adrian. Wait a minute. Hey. He sprung up and he told my mom. He's like, hey, listen, Adrian's on the TV. Freaking out. Yeah, and then my mom, she called me, and she said, we saw your commercial. And I'm like, get out of here. It's on? And that's when it was on during Sunday football, yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. My God. Can you imagine?
Yeah, that was
so bad. So when did you first see it?
I saw it. I remember I tried looking it up. I was out at the moment. I tried looking it up on my phone like a lunatic. And I'm like, dang. But then that's when people started tagging me in their stories. And I saw it on like a friend's story, the commercial. And I'm like, what? Like, this is so dope. And then I cracked up when they added Cam at the end of it.
Oh, so you didn't know that part was happening?
No. Nope. And when I saw Cam, I'm like, what? I'm like, that's so cool.
Okay. So this is something I'm learning, and you can help me fill in the blanks as a model. I learned that you all don't know when things are coming out. And I noticed a lot, because I get a lot of emails with your work in it all the time. And sometimes I'll post something of a model, and they'll be like, oh my God, where is that? Where'd you see it? And I'll be like, wait, what's happening? And they're like, they didn't tell me this was coming out yet. And I was like, but it's in my email. And it was like, but it's not in my email. And I'm like, why is it not in your email? It should be in your email first, then mine.
Right. Oh, that is so true. I find some photos I find from other people. You know, like I did a shoot for Bombas. And I remember I'm like, oh man, I wonder when they're going to put those pictures out. And my aunt got an email about Bombas, and I appeared in it, and she screenshot it, sent it to my mom. My mom sent it to me, and I'm like, dang, I'm like, y'all saw this before me?
Imagine that, like, right? I'm always thinking about that. Like, oh my God, like we get to see your work before you do. And I'm just like, how do we create the standard in modeling where you guys get to see them, at least when everybody else gets to see them? Maybe not beforehand, I get it, because you know, you don't want things leaking out. But yeah, like, at least when we all see, like, why are you not the first on the email thread, you know?
Yeah. I don't understand that. Yeah, you got to just find out.
I know, because yeah, I'm always posting, you know, things I get in my email, and models are always asking me, where did you get that from? And I'm like, is it my email? And they were like, oh,
okay.
Because, you know, I'm registered, you know, and brands send me their press release all the time. So I'm always in these things. And I'm just like, I wish y'all knew. I hate that I have to be the first one to show you your own work, you know?
Yeah, it's so crazy. I always find out from somebody else. And that happened with Untuck It shoot. My uncle saw me before me.
Untuck It.
Yep.
You're in the poster at the store, aren't you, on Untuck It?
Yep.
Because I feel like I've seen it on a story somewhere. I haven't seen it because I don't know too many Untuck It stores. Or I haven't been to too many Untuck It stores. But I feel like I've seen it on a story of someone that you're like one of the people in the store.
Yep.
Tell me, you know, because, okay, so when Miles first, I don't know if you know who Miles is. I feel like y'all worked together on Levi's. I feel like y'all worked together.
Okay.
So Miles and I went to Kroger because, you know, Kroger has a fashion line called Dip.
Okay.
So when Dip first came out in 2019, I believe. Yeah, 2019. When Dip first came out, Miles and I drove like an hour because the stores that Kroger have, first of all, Kroger's I mentioned, you don't even know what that is. Kroger's is a grocery store.
Okay.
Let's start there. So they're a grocery store chain, kind of like Target.
Okay. Gotcha.
In terms of like they have groceries and clothes in the same place. Mm-hmm. So the store that they have clothes at is like an hour away from here. So I met Miles. We drove an hour to this place, to this Kroger, to go see the clothes. Him and I did a video of it. It's on our YouTube. It's on my YouTube. And we're in this place. And we finally see the flyer. And like the look on Miles' face is just priceless. Like seeing yourself in print, it's just, it will never, ever not be that feeling. It's like seeing yourself on digital is one thing, but why is seeing yourself on print like so impactful?
Yeah, it is so cool. I'm telling you, like, when how did I find out? I was on the board. I just remember, you know what? I was in New York and I'm like, you know, let me go to Untucket store to see if I was in the catalog. I just wanted to look at the catalog because it's free. I'm like, let me give one to, you know, my mom. And I remember getting off of the train, you know, walking up the steps and looking directly at Untucket and seeing myself through the store. And I was just like, I just went, damn, wow. And I just stood there on the other side of the street, just staring, not even walking in yet. And I'm like, look at that, man. And then, you know, I went in and, you know, I had to wear a mask. And the lady said, what can I help you? And I said, actually, I just wanted to take a picture right there. And she was like, oh, why do you want to do that? And I said, oh, that's me. And then she was like, Adrian? I was like, yes. She's just like, oh my God, I've sold so many shirts in your size. This is so cool.
That is. Because
my name is there under me. And I'm like, wow.
Let's unpack that. That moment that she just said is so impactful. She sold so many shirts in your size, and she probably sold them in your size because someone your size saw themselves in the store. Brands, if you are listening to this podcast, I need you to understand what it's like to have a visibly plus model wearing your clothes.
True.
It changes how you, how the person who's going to buy it sees themselves.
Yeah.
Walking into Untucked before, because I'm if I'm not mistaken, they just launched into Plus. They weren't always Plus. I'm pretty sure they were. I remember reading the press release about them extending into Plus. So a big guy walks into Untucked, looks up, see you, and says, "Oh, I can shop here." Whew. You don't know the anxiety that a big guy gets walking into a store not knowing if they're going to have his size or not. So seeing you on the wall is the first defense that's broken down.
Yeah.
Then seeing you in your size is now broken down. And now he goes to the salesperson and says, "I want that shirt."
Yeah. Yep, they call it the Adrian. I want the Adrian. Yep, how crazy is it? Yep. I'm like, wow.
So everyone comes in and saying, "I want the Adrian."
Yeah.
Because they know the Adrian's going to fit.
Yeah.
And that's why she sold so many of them.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah, we had a nice convo. I was just like, wow. I'm like, that's awesome. Yeah.
I remember the feeling Miles had when one of the ladies who worked at the store, she went like, she's like this. She's like, "That's you."
That's so cool. Oh, good for him. That's so cool.
Man. So, walk us through.
Yep.
You've done so many amazing things in your career. Like, I wish we had 29 hours to go through them.
Yeah.
But it's 2022. We're in the beginning of 2022.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to do this year that you haven't already done in your career?
I would love to work with Nike.
Ooh.
Yeah. I would love to do like an athletic shoot with Nike. That'd be real dope. Yeah, without a doubt. And my main goal is to one day be on a billboard in Times Square. I think that'd be amazing because my dad's from New York. And you know, my dad, he didn't have it easy. In New York City, you know, on the streets, and just, I don't know, like just seeing myself on a billboard. I'd love to just see myself on a billboard and be able to like look at it with my dad and my mom, of course, and just be like life is crazy.
The optics alone, man.
Yeah. Like I'd definitely love to do that. Yep.
Listen. If y'all don't take anything from this podcast, I need y'all to take from this. Anything is possible. At this point, if you got $40 and a half of gas, I'm not saying it right. If you got $40 and a half a tank of gas, you can make your dreams happen.
You can make it happen, man. You just got to believe, man. That's all I did. You know, I just kept saying, "Let's go, champ. No matter what."
Yeah. I'm rooting for you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I'm also clipping this and I'm sending it to Nike myself. I want to see you every single wear. I wanna flip through websites and be like, "Adrian, Adrian, 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 Adrian. Oh, who's this? Adrian."
Oh, appreciate it, man. Yeah.
I feel like one thing I always appreciated about your work is how even though you don't speak, you speak through your work. It's you look from what I see on social, the little bit you do, the little tiny bit you be posting, you work hard. And now listening to your story, you work harder than I even knew.
Oh yeah, I just grind. Yeah, you know, I definitely get it from my parents. You know, yeah, because my parents, they're hard workers too. My dad, growing up, my dad had like four. My dad worked at that movie theater too, by the way.
Shut up.
Yeah, he worked there, and he was a phlebotomist, drawing blood, and he was a school bus driver. And he also was the janitor at my high school. So he worked four jobs, yeah.
And look, you came and done five.
Yeah, yeah. And my mom, she worked at the phone company for 34 years. She had brain surgery and then went to work a couple months after. Crazy. Yeah. Yeah, so watching them, I'm like, oh, I got to grind.
Your mom said, I need this money. I don't care about this brain. I need my money.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, she don't care.
She need this money. I mean, that does teach you a level of hard work and determination that, frankly, just isn't taught. It's caught. You see your parents, you see your role models, your parental figures do these things, and so you pick them up. And I can definitely tell you've picked up the hard work gene because you work hard.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
I will continue to push and elevate and do whatever I got to do, because the people that are really, and secretly, whether you know it or not, just like that guy walks into Untuckit and sees and says, I want the Adrian. Like, that's the effect I'm looking for across the whole spectrum of fashion. I want someone to look at Nike and say, oh, I want that shirt because Adrian has it and I know I can fit. No question asked. Because you know, one thing men hate to do, we hate to try on clothes. So if Adrian has it on, I don't gotta try it on. I know it's gonna fit.
It's gonna fit, yeah. Yeah, that's true, man.
So I want you to leave the people with like great parting words, because you've had so many of them. I just want to leave them with something just as impactful as we've been talking about today.
Yeah, you know, definitely you can never ever give up. And you know, I've been around a lot of people, you know, through school and, you know, my career. And I realized people tend to, you know, they give up on themselves way too quickly, you know? And a lot of people expect everything good to happen to them immediately, like now, this second, you know? And that's just not how life works. I mean, you'll get lucky, but it's usually not how it works. Like, you know, during my times grinding, you know, working at a movie theater, you know, at one point before acting, it was just movie theater and occasionally DJing, you know, and not earning a lot, but I just never stopped believing ever. Actually, I don't even think it's in me to ever give up, you it's know, not. I just can't do it. I can't do it. And, I like this saying by Les Brown, this motivational speaker. He said, I remember hearing this in college, you know, because college was rough too, but I graduated, but it wasn't easy. And I remember him saying, if you're going to fall, make sure you land on your back, because if you can look up, you can get up. And I'll never forget that. Yeah. Les Brown. Yeah, Les Brown and Eric Thomas, good motivational speakers. They got me through the hard times of college, being a student athlete, because that was hard.
Wait, what did you play in? What did you play?
I played football at University of New Haven.
Oh.
Yep, and that was rough.
I did not know that.
Yep, college ball. Mm-hmm. And that was really hard, I have to admit. Yeah. Because, you know, you're getting up early to train and then watch film, classes early, practice. And that's like 6 days a week. But yeah.
You work hard to get on the field for 1.5 hours per every week, right?
It's wild. Isn't that crazy? It's insane. It's insane. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Never give up.
You know what? Like I said, you're seen and not heard. So maybe people don't even know where to find you. But I know where to find you. But I want everyone else to know where to find you.
Appreciate it, man.
Adrian, tell them where they can find you across the internet.
Well, you can find me on the gram, Instagram. It's Adrian Mompoint, you know, together. You can also check out my IMDb profile.
You better plug it.
Yeah, check out my IMDb profile, Adrian M. Mompoint. And, you know, I also got a YouTube channel. It's not that big, but, you know, I tend to post a few remixes to songs and a couple motivational quote videos, you know, shorts. They're like 15 seconds. I just got into that.
You know, we're going to talk about that later.
Yeah.
YouTube shorts is something I'm interested in.
Yeah.
Yes, I want y'all to go follow Adrian, blow his socials out the water.
Appreciate it.
This man is super talented, and I've noticed that since the day before you even. I actually think I found you.
I think you did. Yeah.
I think I found you, and it's way before I just knew. Like I feel like one thing I really want to move into in my career too is like people. Like, I noticed this year, after 6 years of doing this, I realized that I have a talent that I didn't realize was a talent. And I realized I have a talent and I have an eye for people who are going to be big. Because everybody that I tapped is now big. But it did not occur to me that it was a talent. It was just my natural inclinations. Like, seeing people, and I'm like, you got what it takes. Like, I see the look. Like, I guess maybe because I've always been a visionary. So that's definitely something I want to tap into in the next stage of my career, being able to monetize on my gifts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you got it, man. Yeah.
But thank you so much, Adrian, for coming.
Thank you.
I'm extremely thankful for you waking up this afternoon. You could have been anywhere in the world. Being about 5 jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're here with us today.
Of course. Got you, man. Yeah, no, I'm always talking about XL Tribe because people always ask me, how'd you get involved? And I always start from the beginning and I'm like, well, check out XL Tribe on Instagram. That's the first thing I saw about you know, casting call, and then right there, you know.
I'm proud. I'm super proud. You're the second model that has started their career from the platform that I created that I didn't even think anybody was watching.
Yeah.
So.
It's good.
I'm excited. But thank you so much for coming on my podcast.
Thank you.
And until next time, people, peace out.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, man.